Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career and they talked to me about it.
He was done in just months.
I did do it online.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months with zero experience at My Computer Career.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Residents in the Northeast dealing with remnants of Debbie still packing a punch and posing a major flood threat in areas already soaked from previous storms. Here's ABC's Melissa Griffin.
This is where the significant flash flood threat is in upstate New York and the parts of interior New England through tonight. But all the way down to New York and Philadelphia could see the chance for isolated tornadoes, those wind gusts to 50 miles per hour. Before this all slides out of here off the East Coast through the overnight hours, it will be getting better.
Israeli forces say they've killed a senior Hamas commander in Lebanon. It is the latest assassination of Iranian-backed militant leaders this past month. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump both campaigning today. Trump is in Montana. Harris holds an event tonight in Arizona. Happening in Brazil, authorities in Sao Paulo say a two-engine plane crashed in a residential building today. 62 passengers and crew members on board. It's unclear if there were any survivors. The cause of the crash still unknown. This is ABC News. The CrossFit Games in Texas resuming despite the death of a competitor during yesterday's swimming event.
Just days ago, Lazar Dukic posted a video expressing his excitement at coming to Fort Worth for the 2024 CrossFit Games.
You always need a bit of luck, but for the podium, it's fitness.
During the swimming portion Thursday, fellow competitor Cole Learn could tell the 28-year-old from Serbia was in trouble.
And he was trying to get his head out of the water, and then within seconds, he was under and he never came back up.
In the past 24 hours, a GoFundMe campaign has raised nearly $300,000 for Dukic's family. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Fort Worth.
The remainder of the games now dedicated to the athlete's memory. In Paris, U.S. women winning the 4x100 Olympics relay, anchor Sha'Carri Richardson getting her first Olympic gold medal. Tomorrow, the U.S. battles Brazil for gold in women's soccer and plays France in men's basketball. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable's bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. And here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. The Wisconsin Department of Justice launches a new missing child alert. Attorney General Josh Call was in Milwaukee Thursday to roll out the system, which expands the criteria for issuing alerts.
Having a child go missing is any parent's nightmare. I think any parent would tell you that. And this alert system is one that will help us locate more missing kids in the state of Wisconsin.
The new missing child alert can be issued for those missing under 10 years old who don't meet Amber Alert criteria, and those under 18 with disabilities that prevent them from returning home. It was inspired by 5-year-old Prince McCree of Milwaukee and 10-year-old Lily Peters of Chippewa Falls, who both went missing and were later found dead. Car stolen over three decades ago was found in the Wisconsin River. The Richland County Sheriff's Office says crews pulled the late 80s Pontiac Grand Prix from the river by the Lone Rock Bridge near the Sauk, Richland, and Iowa County lines. Thursday, the Sheriff's Office said they located the owner of the car and learned it was stolen out of Monroe County in 1990. It's not known how long the car was in the river. Nothing suspicious was found in the car, and it appears no one was hurt when the car went in. Sheriff's Office is investigating just how it ended up in the river. Numbers are in from last month's Speed Enforcement Day. The Wisconsin State Patrol said that on June 26th, they performed nearly 1,600 traffic stops, with about a third resulting in citations for speeding and another third given warnings. They added that 28 of the stops involved drivers surpassing a 100-mile-per-hour speed. The 24-hour effort by several state law enforcement agencies aims to educate drivers on the dangers of speeding and to save lives. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the northwest, dragging our high temperatures well below average and only reaching the mid-60s. A few spotty showers may sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow it'll be beautiful and a touch warmer, highs nearing 70. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 65.
The grain markets took another paper cut, with new crop corn and soybeans slipping to new contract lows. Wheat was firm to hold prices close to steady with last Friday. Cotton erased early week losses. The cattle complex caught a major upside correction, and lean hog futures firmed, but still ended lower on the week.
Live on a day rich history via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll have a conversation with Greg McBride of Allendale, Inc. Michelle Rook will bring us the news. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Well, thank you, Joe, but I'm telling you, I don't know if I've ever been more disappointed in you.
Oh, why? Oh.
I fully expected the Nixon imitation.
No, I can't do that.
You couldn't do that?
I don't think so.
Oh, Joe.
People would be like, who's that supposed to be?
50 years ago today, Richard Nixon resigned the presidency. And I thought you were all set up and going to give it to us. But close. Thanks.
You know,
thank you, buddy.
There's a lot that went on today, actually, because this was also the bombing of Nagasaki.
Okay.
And, I mean, for those of you who know your Roman history, Julius Caesar defeated Pompey.
Julius Caesar defeated Pompey. And what else you got? You got anything else?
A Leaning Tower of Pisa began construction.
Did they build it that way on purpose?
I don't know. It was 1173. Who knows if somebody forgot to carry their one or something in there.
Exactly. How do you not get the plumb line straight? That's what I don't understand. I mean, it was just gravity must have been off that day. That's all I can figure.
And the minion who tried to tell the foreman, I don't think this is quite right. He probably got a backhand and.
Oh, yeah. No, he's lion food now. He's lion food. Thank you, Big Apple Joe. Appreciate it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis has got the afternoon off. Okay, let's bring her in. Michelle Rook. Michelle, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. It feels like this week was, a month long? Is that what it felt like to you?
Yes, absolutely. There was so much that happened. You know, early this week, we didn't know who Harris's running mate was going to be. And now it feels like that has been, you know, cussed and discussed and talked over.
Yeah.
It's been all over the place. So yep. a lot has been happening.
Yeah, and we tried to crash the stock market, and Japan's stock market crashed, and so it's been a big roller coaster ride on that, and the stock market kind of spilled over into the ag markets, and we got a big report coming up on Monday. I don't know what more we can ask for.
Here it comes. Here it comes. The volatility is definitely back into the markets.
Yeah.
No question about that. And we're gonna talk about what that might mean and the opportunities that it creates. We'll talk about that with Greg McBride from Allendale coming up here in just a little bit. All right, let's get to the news.
Yeah, well, wheat futures actually were one of the few things that we did see into the plus side on the grain side of things here today. December soft red winter wheat spiked resistance at this week's double top of 571 3/4, then fell back to close below that level. Wheat futures found support, though, at the end of the week on declining crop estimates in Europe and Russia. Now, Russian consultant Sovikon cut its Russian wheat crop estimate by 1.8 million metric tons to 82.9, but ICAR raised its Russian wheat crop estimate by 600,000 metric tons to 83.8 million. Expectations of a big spring wheat crop in the U.S. also kept prices in a sideways trading range this week. Traders also noted position evening ahead of Monday's crop production report from USDA. December HRW wheat futures were 1 3/4 cents higher at 570.5. December SRW wheat up 4 1/4 at 565 3/4. And September spring wheat closed at 589 3/4, up 4.5 cents.
All right. And on the week, December SRW wheat futures up just 3.5 cents. December HRW futures down 5 3/4 cents. And the September spring wheat futures down 5 1/4 cents. So it was all over the place this week. There were some big moves. Well, the wheat market feels like it's trapped right now, and it's yeah. it's looking for a way out, but I don't know what's going to make that happen right now.
Well, Chicago's had 2 weeks of higher closes, so I don't know if we can build on that or not. We'll see. Corn futures did fall to new contract lows, as we mentioned earlier, with December futures posting back-to-back lower closes below $4. Professional trading funds likely built on a short position this week and decided to carry those positions into the weekend and the first survey-based crop estimate of the year on Monday. The lack of a threat to the crop and below normal temperatures across the Corn Belt allowed sellers to stay in control of the corn market this week, with new crop futures posting 4 consecutive lower closes. September corn futures were 2.5 cents lower at 376 3/4. D's corn down 2 cents at 395. And March down, well, we were down 2 cents there at 412.5.
Yeah, you know, in the open, I mentioned it was another paper cut. And this corn market has just been grinding to the downside. There's no big move to the downside this week, just a bunch of small moves, and it all ended up with September corn down 9 3/4 cents on the week, December corn down 8 1/4 cents on the week.
Do you think new crops trying to price in bigger yield? Is that what we're doing?
I think so. I think so. Something above that 181, maybe in the 183 range is what it feels like to me.
Yeah. November soybean futures also posted 4 consecutive lower closes this week and ended today on contract lows, just like corn. The lack of a threat to the U.S. bean crop is the primary source of pressure on prices, and traders basically ignored this morning's new crop soybean export sales of 132,000 metric tons to China and 162,000 tons to unknown destination. This morning's sales announcements also included 50,000 metric tons of old crop beans to unknown and a 100,000 metric ton bean meal sale to Colombia. Soybean meal futures were solidly lower, while bean oil prices closed higher for a third consecutive session. September beans were 4 3/4 cents lower at 988 3/4. November beans down 5 3/4 cents at $10.02, and January beans 10.19 1/4 down 5 3/4.
Yeah, here's where the damage was done this week. September beans down 29 1/4. November beans down 24 3/4. September soybean meal down $22 a ton. And September bean oil up 74 points.
Ouch. December cotton today was 110 points higher at 68.34. We've just bounced off contract lows, though.
Yeah, and just up 9 points on the week.
You bet. A jump in boxed beef values helped October live cattle futures post an upside reversal and to close near the high of the week. Feeder cattle also charged to the upside in an upside correction. October live cattle were 312 and a half higher at 181.15. December futures gained 287 and a half to 179.60. And September feeders were 417 and a half higher at 241.60. Lean hog futures opened on session lows, rallied to fill yesterday's downside price gap, and then posted a high range close. October hogs today were 35 cents higher, 73.97 and a half. D's 42 and a half higher at 66.30.
All right, and on the week, October live cattle down 92 and a half cents. Get this, September feeder cattle down $6.55. Ouch. And October lean hogs on the week down $2.60. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate
it. You bet.
All right. You bet. That's Michelle Ruck. Coming up next, we're going to get into a conversation with Greg McBride from Allendale right here on AgriTalk.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at the AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. "Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?" "No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?" "Nuh-uh." You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Annabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry in harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on Chip. We climbed all the way to 70 degrees this afternoon. It's August 9th. August 9th. And our high today is, we might put another degree on it, get up to 71. Just an amazing, beautiful day, midsummer day here in northeast Iowa. Thanks for spending a little bit of the time with us this afternoon. Appreciate that. Let's get into a conversation right now. Greg McBride from Allendale Inc. Greg, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing wonderful, Chip. How are you?
I'm good. Give me your impression of this week's trade in the grain markets.
I really felt like we had something going on Monday when we reversed out of all that negativity from all the macro market hullabaloo. But like you said, when you were talking with Michelle, it was just kind of a slow grind down after that. We're pricing in so much below where we should be. It's unbelievable right now with the corn and the bean markets. I mean, they're pricing in like we're going to have 190 bushel crop at this point for corn. It's okay. Crazy.
Yeah. Why? Why do you think that is? I mean, I saw some of the conversation out on social media here this week, and the frustration number one, the frustration's real. Number two, I believe it's legitimate. I'm getting frustrated with this persistent pressure on the market too. Why is it happening?
Well, I mean, the funds are in charge of this. I think the last time you and I talked, we were talking about that too. I mean, we had gone to a record short in the corn and beans back in February. We lightened it up just a touch. We never went long. And then they came back in and hammered us again. And I think they have the idea in their head, and they're not wrong about this, is that there's just too much. We have too much out there, you know, and you look at how much is in the hands of the farmer from last year, not to mention, you know, potentially what looks like a record corn yield and maybe even a record production, depending on what they do with acres. But the fact that we can't find anybody to take beans right now. Yeah, we got some token business out of China, and we've gotten a little bit of token business out of them over the last few weeks here, but we're so far behind on what we should be booking right now for soybeans. It's really got the funds in control of this, and they know that even if they were to lighten up just a little bit, all we're going to do is give the farmer a reason to sell. And I think that's what you look at today. You see us kind of mulling about, you know, take 2 cents off the corn, you take 4, 5, 6 cents off the beans. Really, today was probably more about maybe the farmer just saying, you know what, get rid of it. I need to get rid of it because there was no major volume here. There's volume in the beans is disappointing under 100,000 contracts. I mean, so this is probably some give up sales ahead of a USDA report where we're looking for potentially record yields.
Yeah. See, that's one of the reasons that I'm feeling like maybe, and I hope I'm not way premature on this, but I feel like maybe we started to exhaust the selling pressure just because the volume has dried up. I mean, number one, the sellers don't have to do much to defend their already short position because you don't have to sell much to get some downside momentum in there or downside movement in there. And number two, I don't know who's stepping in to buy it right now. So there's that lack of incentive on both sides. Once you get to that point, I feel like you can find a low, but I don't know if we've done it yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I've been saying this for the last week or two, is that going into this report on Monday, you're looking at what might end up being the most bearish report that we get. Mm-hmm. What else is there to push? I mean, there's the funds, you know, at this point, they really don't have a reason to continue to push lower because who's going to be on the other side? At some point, the farmer is going to say, I just don't have the money to be on that side. The producer, you know, the producer is sitting here saying, I've got to sell it anyway. I can't be buying it right now. There's just nobody that, you know, there are people to take the other side. That's why we trade the way we do, but there's not as much of a pushback. So at some point, those funds that continue to sell into it, you know, this is where the low prices cure low prices and high prices cure high prices type conversation comes in, is because now they're fighting with themselves, and they brought those averages down, 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 down. And once one of them says, oh, that's it, I'm going to take my profit, then the lemmings all go over the cliff at the same time, trying to get out before the other guy does.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Let's do a little prep work for Monday's reports. Now, the way that I've been asking the question, Greg, is what do the markets have factored in for the supply side of the market? In other words, yield, acres, yield up, acres down a bit. Maybe everything's wash. About a 15 billion bushel corn crop is the answer that I continue to get. I'm going to ask you a little bit differently. Yeah. What makes a negative corn production estimate?
We got to wipe out some acres from Minnesota, maybe the Dakotas. Right now we're so undervalued. I don't know. I don't know that you can truly make this. I mean, if they don't adjust acres, on this report, the good thing in our back pocket is that the demand side of corn is still good, and it has been for a while. So, We can make a case to maybe the export demand or even ethanol, not as much, but even ethanol could help us out. So everything kind of looks to the negative side, but you've got these little ideas in your back pocket that could hold us from seeing that 2.2, 2.3 billion carryout. I mean, we're pricing in like basically a 2.5 at this point, I think. Okay. But I think overall, I think you're kind of at a happy medium with where this crop is at, a 2.1-ish crop. You take a little bit of harvested acres off, or maybe you can take some of the planted acres off. That'll offset your yield bump. And, you know, talk to some of these producers. It's not perfect out there. I can look in my backyard and say, yes, we're going to have a heck of a crop here in Northern Illinois, but talk to some of those guys that are in that tri-state area, quad state area around Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas, and you know that St. Joe area. It's starting to dry out. They keep missing. Yep. You know, they get the storm. Like one of my customers told me today, they've gotten storms that have knocked down buildings, they've knocked down trees, but they've gotten 20 hundredths of rain to go with it.
Right. Right.
So, like I said, I think you could get the most bearish yield number out of this report, but I'm not saying there's going to be any kind of failure, but maybe it's not a 182, maybe it's a 180 when it all comes back around once we get to November.
I don't remember a setup like this going into the August crop production supply and demand reports where we could get a legitimate record yield estimate from USDA and it could be bullish. I mean, if they would just give us a 178, which would be a record by 0.7 of a bushel, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would be a way bullish number for this corn market, I think that would scare the funds.
Oh, it would. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because that's so far under where everybody's at. You look at these estimates and they're, you know, I think the high water number I've seen is 184, and the lowest number, and nobody's going that direction, is saying 180 or 180.1 or something like that. So yeah. I think you're onto something. But I said it last year, and I haven't said it this year, but I said it last year, there was no way we were going to do 180 bushels an acre. And that was back in February of last year when the USDA kind of sat down and gave us those numbers. And I was like, there's just no way. And I had, you know, Rich Nelson over here at Allendale telling me, we can do that. That's, you know, that's possible. I walked into this year saying, after what we saw weather-wise last year, sky's the limit. We could go to 185. Sure.
Sure. Sure.
But I think you're right. Yeah. You get even if you get a disappointing yield number out of the USDA and it's not 181, 182, anything below 181 is got to be considered friendly.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, we're going to get lift out of the middle of the Corn Belt, Illinois, eastern half of Iowa for sure. At least I think. Indiana's going to be there and everything. But when you get that really big yield, that quote-unquote really big yield, it seems like it takes some help from outside of the Corn Belt. And I don't know if that help is there this year out of the Southeast and out of the Gulf States and out of Texas and out of Kansas. It just doesn't feel like we're going to get that lift there. Greg McBride is with Allendale Inc. He's our guest analyst today. We're going to run down the same scenarios on soybeans next.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And the nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and recap where the markets closed. December HRW wheat futures 1¾ cents higher at 570.5. December SRW wheat up 4¼ to 565¾. September corn futures 2½ cents lower, 376¾. December corn down 2 cents to 395. September beans 4¾ cents lower at 988¾. November beans down 5¾ cents to $10.02¼. December cotton 110 points higher at 68.34. October live cattle 312½ higher at 181.15. September feeders 417½ higher at 241.60. And October lean hogs 35 cents higher at 73.97½.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks, August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the northwest, dragging our high temperatures well below average and only reaching the mid-60s. Few spotty showers may sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow it'll be beautiful and a touch warmer, highs nearing 70. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 65.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Greg McBride from Allendale Inc. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Greg, before we drill down to some of the details on the soybean crop and the report that's coming on Monday, the week started with some volatility in the equities trade, in the commodities trade. Felt like volatility is really back. Here at the end of the week, as you evaluate that, is it a good thing? I mean, because with the volatility, it's going to come some opportunities, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you get these pops in it, you know, and markets get trending, and it's like, well, where do you make the sale, or where do you buy into something? And when it's trending in the same direction for forever and you don't get these little pops to keep the market healthy, it does make it a little bit tough. Or you just get into one of those, it used to be like the 2015, 2016 winter trade where it seems like we go sideways for months at a time. Well, we've gotten a few of these pops and, you know, I really thought that we were onto something on Monday when we shook off all that stuff, from Japan and the stock market being down over 1,000 points, crude oil getting hammered, and then it just kind of sagged us back a little bit. But yeah, that opportunity is what that volatility is bringing to us. And, you know, at these depressed prices, this is where, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on outside of, you know, our agricultural, circle here can help us. That's where we could get some opportunities that say, oh, we didn't see that one coming or any of that stuff. So there's definitely something there. It's just a matter of taking advantage of when it gets there.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it make sense that the cattle market traded the way it did this week with all that concern over the, you know, a recession here in the U.S.?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the way that beef prices are and cattle prices have been held up really well for the past, you know, two-ish years. Yeah, we saw a big dip last September and then we rallied back up and everybody started talking about $215, whatever you want to call it, on the cattle market again, or the fat cattle market. We didn't get there, but I still think that's something that you look at it when you start to talk recession, you start to talk about the amount of like credit card debt, or you start talking about unemployment and all that kind of stuff. The beef prices, the kind of the luxury steak prices and all that stuff, it's very high, and that's where you could see things really cut the legs out from underneath us on that market. So when you have those concerns and you see the stock market down 1,000 points, I mean, shoot, we're going into the close of the stock market, and it's almost a doji on the week with everything we saw. I think it's down like 200 points, and right, the bounce back that you saw in the cattle market today kind of, they almost mirror each other.
Right.
So it doesn't look as bad as it did say on Monday.
You know, when we get into those times where you can look at the equities trade and kind of take your cue from equities on what's going to happen in cattle, I don't know if that makes me comfortable with the markets or if it raises my anxiety level a little bit more on cattle, because it means that the fundamentals of the market still matter, but as you were talking about early, man, those outside influences that can have a huge impact on this cattle trade. Well, honestly, for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you know, we haven't talked about the fact that we're in an election year.
Yeah.
You've got some situations going on in other parts of the world that can really, yeah, throw things off. I mean, shoot, it doesn't take much on for a headline on a Saturday to dictate what we do on a Sunday night when we open for crude oil or any of that stuff. So there's definitely some trepidation there. And, you know, if we start talking about, you know, the Fed cutting rates and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of times the Fed's not going to necessarily, you know, make that rate cut or make sweeping cuts or big cuts unless they're trying to stave off something like a recession. So
right,
that is something to keep an eye on is how aggressive do they get? If it's a one-off in September and then they wait until after the election or even after the first of the year to do anything else, okay, we're in good shape. If they come in September, cut us a quarter of a point, and then start to really talk about cutting more aggressively down the road, yeah, this might be a lookout below type situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't cut rates as a reward for slowing inflation. You cut rates when there is a need for to incentivize some economic activity out there. And usually that's because you're starting to look at an economic downturn like we are in here. Oh man, I had something else in my mind that I wanted to go. Oh, I know what it was. You mentioned the headlines. Mm-hmm. Ukrainian troops made a move into Russian territory this week, and it barely caught the attention of the market. I figured, okay, here comes the wheat market's attention back on Russia, Ukraine. Barely caught their attention, did it?
Yeah, is that thing still going on? Because I mean, you'd never know.
Isn't that something?
I mean, we're in year 10 of that war right now. And I mean, we forgot about it 3 months after it happened. We would see little bumps and little spikes of that volatility that we're talking about. And we got more of a move out of the wheat today based off of slashing France's, production by a quarter than what we've gotten out of anything out of Russia and Ukraine. And that's just kind of how this goes. You know, they look around, they say, well, okay. And we still couldn't even hold on to these gains, right, in the wheat market. That's the worst part about it. We've become numb to this news cycle, right? Yeah. It's just, yeah, the market wants to stay negative. It's going to stay negative. Yeah. We'll get these pops of volatility, and that's probably your opportunity to take profit out of new longs, or be pile into the short side like everybody else. Even just, you know, if everybody in California is going north, I guess we're going to go north, because going south isn't going to help us at this point.
Gotcha, man. Okay. Soybeans, 52 is the trend line. 52 is the record. Is that about where you think we're going to be on Monday?
I think we're higher, but I don't know how much higher than that. It's going to be close. I mean, it'll be somewhere. It's not going to be 53, I don't think. I think with the some of the problems we've seen, that'll hold us back a little bit. Some of the concerns about, you know, the heat that started August and the heat that will come back into August might be an issue with some of those areas out to the west that are a little bit on the drier side. But 52 to 52 and a half sounds appropriate at this point. I wouldn't be looking for a cut to, you know, 50 or anything like that. And I think 53 is just overdoing it.
Okay. Adjustments on the acres there at all?
Yeah, slightly. Maybe 125 to maybe quarter of a million. The USDA on their reports tends to give us, you know, some sort of a number of what they see that's left to be planted. And I think they did that at the report at the end of June. Yep. And it was something ridiculous, like 15 million acres, which that was the same thing as what we've seen the last few times, the last couple of times, now that they're being more transparent with that stuff. And really all that tells us is that, yeah, we're going to plant more, but it doesn't equate to us missing out on 15 million acres. So I think overall, it's just a slight cut to overall acres in the bean side of things.
Okay. Do you see any needs for adjustments on the supply, or excuse me, on the demand side of the balance sheet?
Yeah. We've been a little disappointing on the crush side of things. I think crush could still be the knight in shining armor for beans, but that's a future conversation. But the demand, like I mentioned earlier, is still a massive issue. So I'm still worried that we're going to see maybe a 25 million bushel cut on this year's old crop. Yep. And you may get another 25 million on the new crop, and we started doing that last year early too. So it's been one of those things that I think over the last year we've only seen them raise the export demand side of things once, and then a month or two later, they came back in over the top and cut us again. So it's definitely an issue, especially when you've got Brazil that is building, you know, massive crops every year. Even if they were off what they thought they were going to have, they still had a pretty sizable crop, and they'll do it again this year too.
Yep. Okay, about 45 seconds left here, Greg. Just talk to me about your attitude on 24 crop corn and soybean sales.
I think we're behind. I really do feel like we needed to be more aggressive earlier. With big carryout years, you've got to be a little more aggressive on early in the season, and that's as we're planting. But I think you can get some pops of volatility. You can get some maybe some short covering bounces that'll give you an opportunity to make some sales, whether that's cash or hedge. It's no issues there. But I think searching for those big numbers like $11.50 or $12 out of the question, like $4.90 or anything like that's out of the question for right now. But bounces are meant to be sold.
Bounces are meant to be sold. We've been saying that for a while, no doubt. Hey, man, thank you so much. I appreciate your time on this Friday afternoon.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, that is Greg McBride, Allendale Inc. Okay, I've got the weather forecast. We're going to take a look at what to expect, and I'll give you my final thoughts heading into the USDA.
After you use Bounce dryer sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce dryer sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialized technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad you're with us. I'm Chip. Wrapped up a conversation with Greg McBride from Allendale there. Okay, let's go over some of the survey work that Bloomberg did ahead of Monday's crop production and supply and demand reports. Now, again, just so that we're all clear on exactly what is going into the crop production estimates on corn and soybeans. A farmer survey, NAS, National Ag Statistics Service, conducted a farmer survey. They've got their objective yield plots set up out in corn and soybean fields across the country, but they're not using any data from those plants. They're not those plots. They're not making any observations to include in the August estimate. Now, for the first time, they are also going to take a look at the certified acreage data from FSA and use that in the acreage estimates that they include in this August production estimate. I'm not exactly sure when the rest of us are going to get a look at that data, because usually that data has just kind of been made available, and when it happens, we know it, and we've been able to go out and grab it ahead of any use of that data by NAS in what was the September crop production report, okay? So they're moving that up a month. I just don't know if we're even going to get a look at it. I would love to see it released this afternoon, made available to analysts this afternoon, so that we could get at least some idea of what it might mean for acres in Monday's crop production report. So on the national average corn yield, according to the Bloomberg survey, the average trade guess is 182.2 bushels per acre. Trend line and the July estimate or forecast was 181 bushels per acre. The low end is 180.1. The low end is 180.1. The high end, 184 bushels per acre. The corn crop, the average crop estimate, 15.124 billion bushels, 15.124. That would be up 23.7 bushels per acre. The low end, 14.92. The high end, 15.3. So pretty good range on the crop when you get right down to it. What is that, 380 million bushels on that range? So there is some room to for somebody to be surprised in this production report. On the soybean yield, the average trade guess, according to the Bloomberg survey, 52.5 bushels per acre. The low end, 51.5. The high end, 53.9. That would be up a half a bushel from trend line and a half a bushel from the forecast national average bean yield that we got from USDA in July. On the production, 4.472 billion bushels is the average trade guess, according to Bloomberg. Low end of that, 4.38 billion bushels. High end, 4.565 billion bushels. That would be up 36.5 million bushels from the forecast that we got from USDA in July. So the lean is clearly to the upside. The lean is clearly to the upside. The acreage estimates, I don't have that right in front of me, but as Greg was talking about, people seem to be leaning down on the harvested acreage estimate from what we got in July from USDA and was included in the June acreage report. You know, I'm not going to argue with that, but it's assuming that the June numbers were right. And, you know, coming out of the March intentions, I said they felt light. Feels like we should be able to add some acres in here. So let's continue to push them up a bit. That's what we got in the June numbers. I still don't feel like there's much room to the downside, even with all the problems that we've had in getting the crop planted. I wouldn't anticipate a lot of change in the harvested acreage estimates from what USDA showed us in the June acreage report. The other thing is, I think I'd be at the low end, at least on the corn yield estimate. On soybeans, I'd be right at 52. We've done that before. We've done that before, and it feels like we could do that again this year. On corn, we've never done a 181. We've never done the low end at 180.1. That's not to say that we can't, but to anticipate it right out the gate, that seems a bit much to me. I've been asking the question all week, what if we get something under trend line? A record number, you know, better than last year's 177.3, you know, would be a record. Would be a record. So what if it's a 178? It's a record by, quote unquote, a lot, but it would still be a bullish number. Heck, 179, 180. They would both be record numbers, but they might end up being price positive just simply because of the expectations that have been built into the market right now. So who knows? We'll find out on Monday morning. They'll probably come with a 185 and a 54 or something like that. And we'll have to refigure and look at how these markets are going to trade. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for August 15th through the 19th. Just call it above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt. You've got to get all the way out to eastern Indiana and Ohio to get to near normal outlook for the temperatures, above normal temperatures everywhere else. In the precipitation, above normal precipitation is expected in the northern production areas and the eastern belt. Now, there's some change in the pattern when we jump out to the 8 to 14 day. The above normal temperatures stick with us. This is for August 17th through the 23rd. Above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt, but we've got below normal precipitation moving into the heart of the Corn Belt, most of the corn and soybean acres. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Certainly appreciate it. Come back on Monday morning. We're going to have a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, and Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, right here on AgriTalk. Have a great weekend.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic